All right, let's get it, y'all. What's going on? It's the DC Incentives Podcast. You already know what it is. So we have special people up in this room today. We have Zay, get up. What's going on? We have TC. What's going on, TC? And then two people y'all already know from the last episodes. Chuck Finance, what's good, Chuck Finance?
What up?
Destiny, we already know what Destiny. What's going on?
Hi, everyone.
What's going on? So, today we're going to talk about the movie They Clone Tyrone. Now, for this movie, I recommend everyone to watch it because it has a lot of interpretation, subliminal messages. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, usually, you know, we don't really get to, you know, movie reviews, but this one, I think, is nailed that it really needs to, you know, that the most talk of, you know, talk of the town. So we can get to the reviews. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I recommend do not watch this episode yet until you see it. That way you can get your your opinion and your thoughts. So let's get to the reviews. I'll go first. So let's do this. I'm gonna ask questions. What's your thoughts about the movie? What's the overall everything? Destiny, you wanna go first?
Yeah, I could go first. Okay, so my thoughts overall is that it was a great balance of both entertainment and truth. And I feel like you can't walk away from this movie without questioning everything around you. Like, if you choose to go back and, like, live your life in a way where it's just, like, you're on autopilot, that's on you. Because I feel like a lot of these movies put truth in it to where it's, like, maybe I should check the things that I'm digesting and ingesting, whether that be movies or music or food. So, yeah, I feel like it was a huge eye-opener. It wasn't a really movie that where they spoon-fed you everything, but it was a lot of, like, hints at things that was like, oh, my gosh, like, let me pay attention to what's going on around me. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Chuck Finance.
Yo. I thought the movie was amazing. I didn't know what I was walking into when I saw it. You know, Jamie Foxx, of course, you know, whatever. I'm gonna watch it because of Jamie Foxx. And it's like when I'm watching the movie, I grew up in the 70s. So I grew up in the Black exploitation age. So I'm looking at this movie and I'm like, okay, this is an homage to all the movies from the Black exploitation. But it's funny when you look at the movie and you look through the comedy, you look through all of the nonsense, and you see these undertones of issues and what's really happening. And it's like, wait a minute, hold on. Are they really touching on these points? It's just amazing. And we're going to go into it, but I've been telling every single person, yo, watch the movie. I can't talk about it. You got to watch the movie. After you watch the movie, call me or hit me up because we have to talk. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. So that's what I've been telling everyone. Please watch the movie. Yesterday, I was walking with a fella and we were talking about a movie and somebody joined in. Yo, you guys talking about Tyrone? Yeah, we talk about Tyrone. So that was the thing. So that's what the thing I take away from that was the way that the undertones. And I would like to see who wrote the movie. I would like to see what was the intent of the movie. And we'll do that later. But that I've been telling everyone to watch the movie. I watched it in the morning and then I watched it again the same day a second time because it was that powerful. And I'm going to watch it a third time.
Definitely. Okay. TC, talk to me.
So I just seen the movie today, and it literally felt like a Jordan Peele movie. Like, it gave me, like, that Get Out, This Is Us kind of vibe. I didn't really know what I was getting into. Honestly, I thought it was a straight comedy, how they just put it out there. But when I was watching it, I was just like, yo, look, Osama Mendoza, this is low-key what's happening right now, you know? And yeah. I'm mad at myself. I'm watching movies like, damn, I want some Popeyes. But then I start thinking about it, I'm like, don't eat that chicken, boy. Don't eat it. Don't eat that chicken. Nah, but honestly, that movie is like Destiny said, it's not like they're spoon feeding you. It's something you have to visually look at, like the background for certain images and symbols. And you'd be like, oh, they're right about that. Especially with the whole hair salon scene. When I was looking at that stuff, I was just like, So, you know, it's definitely a movie I think everybody should see and definitely see more than once. Like, I'm probably going to watch it after we finish this.
Okay. Go ahead, Zay.
So, for me, at first I was watching it, I'm like, okay, not too sure what's going on here yet. I'm trying to decide if I'm getting in, if I'm going to be able to get through it. And if you ever be in it, and then I start looking more into it, I'm like, in my head, I'm looking at, okay, I see different stereotypes, different things. I see all these different things that, you know, people talk about nowadays. And then I'm just noticing more when it comes down to, you know, talking about TV, what you're eating, and different things they're drinking and stuff. And I'm like, we do this every day. This is kind of like, you know, got you thinking and trying to understand and kind of look at yourself and your life and what you're doing. You're like, okay, maybe I need to stop doing this so much, you know? But it's definitely a movie to watch, and it's going to make you think. It's going to make you really just look at life a little bit different to me.
So for me, I think this is a phenomenal movie. I think it was probably my top 10 for the year I watched. I think, just like Jordan Peele said for one of his movies, that it's a documentary. I feel like, you know, they cloned Tyrone. I feel like that movie was a documentary, especially for Black people. That's what I think, in my opinion. So I think you have to really be open-minded and not closed, and check on the clues on, like, what's going around you, or, you know, what you see yourself. You even have to click on yourself. You could say, like, okay, like, wow, like, I'm even guilty of listening to that type of music, and I get fired up and I get in the mood. I can be guilty of that, or like, I'm just like TC said, like, I could get a Popeye's chicken sandwich or go to Chick-fil-A or something and it tastes so good and everything. So it's like, you know, the part about the fried chicken, that made me think of, what's that movie? Undercover Brother, how they had in the TV about the fried chicken also. So that's what I'm, you know, but it was definitely a phenomenal movie. So yeah, that's my overall, my views on it. So now we can get deep on this now. I can go first on it. I think when people watch the movie, right? They asked me, okay, cool. I watched the movie. They're telling me the clues. They're telling me, you know, what's going on. But now what can I do about it? That's what the questions that the people, you know, some of the people that I know, that I personally know, seen the movie, it's going to ask me, okay, what can we do about it? And I think that is in the movie, in my opinion, how Jamie Foxx got the whole hood just to destroy the operation. That's what, like, they gave it to you. Like, they already told you this is what needs to be done. Unity. The whole hood, in my opinion. I also like it, it's a lot. And you can even see like the only people that they cloned was the people that are a problematic to the hood. The false, you know, pastors, the pimp, the drug dealer. Those are ones that they clone, but I think that was a metaphor. Yeah, it's so much I can touch base on, but it's like, you know, what are y'all thoughts on it? Anybody can go. I don't want to, you know, go too much on, you know, to it, because it'll take me about like 40 minutes.
I wanted to piggyback on that unity thing of like the entire community coming together, because this is a conversation I had with my friend, and I was like, unity, I feel like, is always the answer. Community, everybody coming together. But I feel like, although we all know in the back of our mind that we all do need to come together to stop many of the horrible things that's going on, I feel like from a very young age, we've been programmed to see that people who came together, they always got harmed in a way, from like, especially in our community, from the Black Panthers to what are they called? When they were marching with Dr. King and then Malcolm X and all these different people. So it's like, you want to and you have the urge, or even like with the riots from 2020, when people were coming together to march for George Floyd and everyone that was dying due to police brutality, people were getting shot with the guns and getting sprayed and hit with batons. So it's like, you know that that's what you want to do, but then a lot of fear mongering happens when it comes to like, if you do this, you're going to get hurt. So it's better that you stay pushed apart and play your role. So it's like, it's horrible.
And that's the, and to piggyback on that, that's the reason why I said it's a metaphor, why they clone just the ones that's problematic, is because those are the ones that, you know, as soon as you to the hood, those are the ones that's going to stay living that cycle. It's going to be living that cycle over and over again. That way the community will not build up. It's still going to stay stagnant until gentrification. Until, just like Keith, you know, even though his, you know, his name is Nixon. His name is Nixon in the movie, which is, in my opinion, Nixon, if you put that together, Nixon is a racist president that put the war on drugs for Black people. So that's what I got from it. And he even said it like, we'll put a Starbucks here. And like, what he said, we'll put a Starbucks here. And you know, that's, you know how it goes with gentrification, redlining, and it's and you see the way how he was controlling. He was controlling the pimp and the drug dealer and everybody that was around with the Black people, right? So when he was controlling them, I think that was a sign of, listen, I own you. That's what I think it was.
Well, you know what my favorite part is that he was able to control them, but did you notice he couldn't control Yo-Yo? The one, yes. I was like, hello. And I, yes, was like, and I was talking about this with Chuck Finance, and I was like, I love that, because like, she couldn't even really understand her power there. Like the fact that they couldn't control you. And I feel like that was a message to all Black women, that like, we have a true power that gets like skewed through mainstream media. And like, because like, we just get like put down a lot as Black women, like through how we get paid, through how we're portrayed on the media as angry Black women and all this stuff. But like, we have so much power, and she couldn't even see that. And he was just putting her down with his words, like, you're irreplaceable, like you have no worth and things like that. But she clearly has worth if you can't even control her. So, but she just didn't see that.
One of the things, Tisa, you talked about, and there's a there's a brother named Anthony Browder. He's down in DC. He's a historian, awesome brother. He does videos and he actually critiques movies because he went to school for marketing. So he'll do a video on a movie and he'll expose things that we don't see as a marketer. So TC talked about Get Out, and there's a scene in Get Out at the beginning, the very first scene with the brothers walking in the neighborhood and the white car comes behind him. And in the back of the car is a helmet. So Anthony Browder was teaching us that though that car was the White Knights from the Civil War. And that white car was the white horse. And then in the helmet in back was the hoods that they wore. So when we talk about the symbolisms, this is one of the reasons why we have to have these conversations with these movies, because it's like, what did you see? I know that the people in this room are going to show me things that I didn't see, you know, and that's what it's all about, having the conversation. And we talk about the analogy, we talk about the archetype, as Rich talked about, and we talked about this. What fascinates me is the way that these prominent archetypes that TC talked about, looking out in the window that we see every day, these are the scourges of the community. And we talk about unity. This is part of the reason why we can't organize. This is part of the reason why these quote unquote leaders are controlled by others. My concern is always not what I see. My concern is what I don't see. I can combat what you're trying to do to me that I see, but if I don't see it, then that's the problem. And we're talking about, technically, we're really talking about social engineering and social programming. So now when you hear key code words or you hear music like Rich talked about, it's like, wait a minute, what is that doing to me? And why is that so prevalent in our community? And okay, now I know what it does to our community. I don't have to engage in it if I don't want to. But remember, if we do that, now we're the outcasts. We're different. You know, we're the outcasts. We're different. Well, why don't you like this? And I'm not going to call out names on, why don't you like this music? Why don't you like that? Because that music does not appeal to me, because I don't live that life. I don't live that life. Now, if I'm going to listen to something, I'm going to listen to something powerful, uplifting, and organizing. It was Stokely Carmichael. We talk about unity. He talked about organization. We have to have organization. And remember, if you have organization, you have people moving in one accord. And if people are moving in one accord, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem. See, they have chaos. So now what happens is that chaos thing, and okay, that's what you talked about, the riots, the Rodney King riots and every kind of riot, you have chaos. As long as the chaos is controlled in a certain community, that's not an issue. But if organized chaos, we decided to move our anger, our frustration, our pain, whatever, into another community. Oh, now we got what? The tanks coming in, right? Now we got the National Guard pulling up. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's so much to unpack with this movie. And when we look at it, and we're going to get into the archetypes. If you notice, and we're going to get into our favorite scenes, but if you notice what I noticed, and like Rich said, what I saw was the main archetypes that were getting cloned the most were the most problematic. The pimp, the gangster, the drug dealer, the reverend. These were the ones that, if you remember in that scene, all of the pods, they were all the same. Remember, there was Tyrone, it was the reverend. So from what I saw, that's the main controlling factor and the main piece when it comes to what we're dealing with as a race, is understanding that as long as you are not helpful to the race, we're going to produce more of you, because you're doing what we want you to do. And like Destiny said, the part with Nixon degrading the woman, that's a powerful piece. Because he says something like, you don't have any value. So it's like, wow, But one of the things I do like is, and we're going to get deeper. One of the things that I do like is after she got caught, her name was Yo-Yo. After she got caught, you cut to the scene with, and the funny thing is his name is Charles. I was like, oh my gosh, in the movie, I'm like, oh, here we go. So, and the brother, his name wasn't Tyrone. But the thing was, after all of that, they went back and got her. You know, after all of, they went back and got her. So what does that say? These are parts of things that we have to talk about. We can talk about the negative stuff, but we got to talk about the positive stuff also. They went back and got her. So it's like, no matter what happens in this world, we have to save ourselves. We have to save our women as Black men. So go ahead. I don't want to, because we could be here all night.
I was going to say, with them going back to get her, where Charles is talking about, it's the matter of where here they trying to forcibly put a perm in her hair. Now, you know, of course, we've seen it was a wig or whatever, but it kind of brought it back for me, because for me, it was a big thing. I used to perm my hair, you know, after a while, and it took a long time for me to get to the point where I could get my hair back to natural. It took a long time. It was that was a struggle, I tell you. But just to see that, and it's like, yo, with them putting the chemicals in your hair to connect with that, it's like, it's kind of damaging you. And now they're talking about they got different lawsuits and stuff because you can get cancer from the perms. You know, then all these different things happening with that. Then another thing that came up to me was, I've gotten on this big tip with my son. I only do 100% juice, right? But if you look in the movie, they're giving them, what is that? Like, I guess you would consider it's like a Capri Sun or whatever, which is just a bunch of sugar. You know what I mean?
Definitely artificial, yeah.
So all these different things, as I was watching, I was just looking at like things that just pointed out and then connecting to what's going on right now. What are we seeing right now? You know, and that, for me, that was just a big thing where you was actually able to make connections to today's everyday life. It was a big thing for me.
For me, I'm back to the fried chicken thing. When they shown the outburst of the fried chicken, everybody's enjoying it. It reminded me, I forgot what year it was, but when the chicken sandwich first came out of Popeyes, how the whole neighborhood went crazy for that chicken. You hear in different states, people getting stabbed, shot over some chicken. And
crazy.
You really got to sit there and think about that. Like,
I remember that.
No.
You remember
that's really real. Yes, I remember.
Into the Popeyes?
Yes. And people got killed over the sandwiches.
People died for some chicken.
I told everybody. And, I said, I'm.
And it's like, it's really, when you look at it, it's like the chicken face went crazy. Social media is showing it. And guess what? Who's looking at it more? The white man or the Black man? I'm not saying white people don't eat chicken. But let's be honest. The neighborhood. Our neighborhood's going to be looking at this and be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to get some chicken. Then it spreads like wildfire. Now you're seeing Popeyes everywhere. You know? And it's like, they got their agenda.
Was long?
Yes.
Yo, you saw how the line was long and how the people was laughing. And then if you hear it on the radio, right? If you hear it on the radio said the chicken has some sort of symptoms that makes you laugh to the muscle and goes to the bloodstream to your nervous system, something like that. And and it's not good for you, yo. If you hear that radio, if you watch it, listen to that radio, you're here. It says this is what the chicken does to your body.
Yes. And what's the chicken doing to us now when we go Popeyes and KFC for us?
Right.
Basically the same thing. You know, it's crazy. And it's just like that's one of the connections I caught on very fast. That's just like that literally happened in real life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to mention too was when they put the news on, when they select, you know, when they feed all of the clones.
Yeah.
My biggest thing was, look at what's on the TV. You see how I kept jumping from different channels and they're showing the same things and how the people are naked and then all of them is acting crazy, whatever. And I'm just like, why? It's got to be shown like this. But you know, this is what happens. And it's always something that's saying something stupid out their mouth that gets on the camera.
Okay, Zay, one of the things that's done is so that you become desensitized to it.
Yes.
So now when you see it, you think that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of we're talking about social engineering, social programming. So now if you're comfortable of seeing that, it's the, so now part of it is as conscious Black people, part of it is that when you see that and you know that that's strategically designed, the issue comes when you try to elevate yourself and others are looking at you like, why can't you be like us?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard this before, you know.
Yeah.
Why do you have to act like you're not one of us? And that's and that's because we're talking crowd programming. So and then this is the important thing when you find your core group that are moving, and remember organization, when you find your core group that are moving together, that are moving powerful, moving up, exposing things. And like Destiny said, you know, when things like that happen, you get taken out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rich, you said they didn't clone a Malcolm X. They didn't clone a Martin Luther King. They were cloning people that were detrimental to the Black community. And Zay, like you said, one of the funny things to me was inside the beauty salon, when the lady was like complaining and moaning, and then once that stuff hit her hair, she mellowed out. Like, oh my gosh, that's like, so yeah. So that's what we look at. Do you guys remember a movie called Three the Hard Way? From the 70s, Three the Hard Way. Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, and I forget his name right now. But Three the Hard Way was a famous movie. But if you haven't seen it, Three the Hard Way was a Black exploitation movie. You know, big guns, you know, killing the white man, the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. But if you go back and look at it again, Three the Hard Way was strategic. And I tell everyone to go back. If you love this one, go back and watch that one. Because at the very beginning, Three the Hard Way, there was a scientist who created something that only killed Black people. And in the movie, they were trying to put it in certain reservoirs, Chicago, New York, you see what I'm saying, Detroit, because they wanted to put it in the water reserve so that when we drink the water, it would kill us.
Mm.
We're looking at the re-emerging of these concepts in these contexts. And this is why, like I said, it's important that we talk about these things, because it's like, wait a minute, hold on. If they've been doing that then, what are they doing now?
Exactly. I want to piggyback on you talking about cloning people who are detrimental to the community. And I want to talk about how, because I'm in the music industry and I always pay attention to artists and how they behave online, how what they say in their songs and stuff like that. So going to that scene where they were in the club and he was like, I would put on some of this trend hypnotic music or whatever. And the people are just like, and it made me feel like so weird because like I'm a DJ myself. And it makes me feel like I need to be careful of the music that I'm playing to make sure like it's not like, of course we want our ratchet like hype songs every now and then, but like too much of it is like not good. And I also remember watching a interview of one of these head people of a head record label. And the interviewers asked them like, are you a person that is more for talent? Or would you bring somebody onto the label if they were heavy drug addicts? And he was like, no, he's all for talent, but he will call them out if they were a drug addict. And they're like, well, that's kind of contradicting yourself because I thought you were all for talent. So then why are you bringing drug addicts on? And that's because like, that's what sells. And that's what they want to keep feeding to our community because it's going to just keep birthing more and more drug addicts, more and more drug dealers, more and more killers and stuff like that. So it's like, it's really interesting to see like how it's all connected.
one thing to piggyback on, and I want to continue on the music. You see how they was doing an experiment on Black people, and I think the experiment on Black people were the ones, I think, that were the ones that in prison. The ones that are in prison are the ones that I think they're doing the experiment on. How you get eyes open. You see how the two guys, right? When the song, the title song said, "Kill a motherfucker," right? So you see how they was. No, I'm serious. This is real stuff. This is what we listen to on a daily basis on the radio and our music. I'm guilty of it too. Yes, I listen to, you know, like, oh, this. Face it, I'll do this to you. This,
I'm saying, I listen to my certain girls every now and then,
and as long as it has a hot beat, and as long as it's even, it don't even have to be lyrical, it just gotta be like, yeah, bow, and yeah, it'll be nice.
That sounds like Kevin Gates to me.
So, well, going back to the movie, it's like, I'm a killer. Go, you know what I'm saying? So now when we get hype, we're like, yeah, I'm hype, let's do this. Yeah, next you know, you see how they fight, and next you know, he was like, okay, let's change the song. They changed the song to "I Need a Hug." When they changed the song to "I Need a Hug," you see how they changed their moods to them hugging each other. And songs, I'm gonna get deep. So songs are like soul snatchers, they are. So if you listen to, you know, so even, you know, back in the, like, I'm not saying all songs are negative, but I'm saying these songs, they get you in the mood. Yes. And it goes back to what Chuck Finance was saying about, like, you know, and what you're listening to. But I'm, like I said, I'm guilty because I listen to that type of music. I'm not saying I do that, you know, in the street, blah, 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 whatever, but we listen to that type of music in a daily basis. Right. Yeah.
I think music is a very spiritual thing, and it's like, yeah, it's okay to explore different sounds. It's just the how much you're listening to it. Like, if you listen to the negative songs, quote unquote negative songs, like too much, it's not helpful to you because you're like wondering, why am I always so upset or why am I always so sad? Well, look at what you're listening to or look at what you're watching. Like, there was an album that just dropped last night and I was listening to it with my friend and we're going through the whole entire album. Some of them were like, this is not hitting. Some of the music, it literally felt like it put you in a trance. And we both watched the movie, so we just looked at each other and started laughing. We was like, what are they putting in this music? Like, oh my gosh.
I have an example. I don't know if y'all remember this growing up where they had a show called The Doodle Box.
I remember that.
Years ago? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm in middle school, and my sister was young, so she was watching. Me and my brother sit down next to her on the couch, and all of a sudden, we supposed to be heading to school. While we on that couch, and I feel like I'm in a trance, like I could not move. I was just stuck watching that show. And it's just a song, but all you keep hearing is just the song playing over and over. It got to the point, I was like, you know what? I can't watch the show no more. It ain't working.
I'm glad you guys are talking about this because this is the awareness part that I talk about when there are things that we see and we know, but there are things that we need to see that we don't know. And if you talk about the music, and if you ever, you've seen the videos where, what's their name? Baby Shark or something?
Yes.
Where you have little children who can't even talk, can't even walk. But they put the music on and you see them moving. So what we're looking at is the influence of the music, what it does to us. And yeah, exactly, you have artists who I don't want to say that we all do it. We have to understand that we're all programmed and we're trying to deprogram the things that we've been programmed to do. So now, for instance, if we talk about the music, you know, it's like, I'm not going to apologize to this because I'm part of this society and I was raised in this society. I'm a little bit more aware of what's going on. So now Somebody calls me up. Yo, something happened. Blah, blah. What? Who am I going to put on? There's a certain artist that died from crack. I'm not going to say no name, but when the dog comes out, you know, I'm putting that music on, and what am I doing? I'm lacing up the Timbs. Why? Because I'm getting in that mood, because what we about to do, I need that energy. So again, yeah. we look at these things. Now, okay, and now if I'm in that, but again, that's that controlling factor that we're talking about, what is in the music. And that, Destiny, you said it so profoundly, what's in the music? Like, we always talk about what's in the food. Whoa, what's in the music? Like, really? And you look at these things, and it's powerful. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to relook at the movie and see the how the music, and the soundtrack was bombing.
Soundtrack, yes. I agree. Yeah.
And did you guys hear the song at the end, Erykah Badu song?
I still haven't listened to it again. I have to listen to it again.
Change the lyrics.
She changed the lyrics. Yes, she did. She
tried to get that listening again to hear it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you got to go back.
Catch on.
It's like, oh my God.
I was singing the original lyrics. I wasn't even paying attention to the song. Like, I heard her voice and I was like, oh, I was singing this song.
Yeah. That's so, the same thing for me. Yeah.
So the diet, remember, the diet is the food, the diet is what we see, the diet is the music, you know, what we hear, all the five senses. So that's something that the music. You know, what was funny to me in the movie was when they went down and they were monitoring and the lady was talking about her dude, and you know, they were writing notes, you know, because again, they're monitoring everything we do because they're studying us.
And like, you're monitoring this too.
You know, the brothers in prison. But also you got the people in the military. You know, all these things are like, wow, you know, again, what we're looking at is how do we fight an enemy that is so strategic? Like, really, it's deep. Mm. It's really deep, you know, and it's a multifaceted fight because you think you won one. But then you got this side over here. And you're like, wait a minute! I thought I won this fight. I'm still fighting. Yeah.
It's a lot you learn as you go every day. I have not realized so much until recently. Right, dealing with, especially seeing this movie now, and making connections. It was brought to me, you got to realize, when kids learn, they learn with all five senses. But when you become an adult, you don't think about that. But you learn with all five senses every time, everything you're doing. And then it's like the music. What I've noticed is, especially with the kids, because that's the way I connected, is when you watch, they listen to certain, as you were saying, certain music, they're all hyper and all over the place. And in other music, they're kind of calm, more smooth, you know, smoother. So it's just like, when you look at life in general and how things go every day, like Chuck Farnan said, you have to change stuff. You can't change it. You may not be able to change everything at once, but you change it little by little. You'll be able to reach you where you want to. And everybody around you is not going to understand what you're doing. Because even now for me, little things, I change music or eating habits and different stuff. They're like, what are you doing that for? It's just better. It gets to the point where to explain it to somebody for them not to understand, I just say, like, it's just better for me to do it this way, you know? And I just start doing stuff. Like I said, I can't do everything at once. I'm just like everybody else at fault. But I'm learning little by little to change everything and realize it all makes a difference. And somebody may follow you, they may not, but you're making a better change for yourself and ones around you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, TC, go ahead.
No, I only have one question. It's about a certain character in this movie, the old man. Mm-hmm. did he see everything? Does he know everything?
Get on that.
You know, like he's always
I feel like
Listen, I was gonna get on that because
he was one of my favorite characters.
Because you always like you always have that someone, and this is real life. You always have that, especially, you know, even when my mom saw it, she said, yo, you always have that, you know, that guy, the drunk homeless guy from the hood that knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything. Like, you know, then, you know how, we'll see, like, you know, they call him crazy if he knows some things, but he knows, like, everything in the hood. Yes, the old, yeah, the guy, yeah. But I'm glad you touched on that, TC. And another thing also, right? You peeped in the beginning how the camera was panned to the advertisement, right? An advertisement saying something about whatever. And then after that, it went to the liquor store. The liquor store had, you know how we play numbers in the hood. You know, let's play these numbers. And you see how Fonte was playing his numbers, you know, every day. And then after, you know, he was like, oh, let me get a drink of that, the 40. And then it's everyday life. My only confusing is, which is what based on that, is Fonte's mother. How he was like, all right, open the door. He opens the door and then it's like, I'm going to have to piggyback on that one because maybe my interpretation is like, maybe the mother's never home. Maybe like, you know, it could be all sorts of interpretations. Like maybe the mother, you know, is not. Yeah, that scene is like, it's still processing to me.
I think Charles is going to say.
I want to see what Charles says before I say
something. I think I know what he's going to say too. Mm-hmm.
This just popped in my head, okay, as you're talking about it, because this is that was my number one misunderstanding. Why that scene, those scenes. So I just thought about something. Is it possible? Because if you remember, there's a scene where he's knocking on the door and he really wanted to talk to his mother. He was hurting. You remember that? And then I guess that's when he kicks in the door. You know, you know, is it possible that his mother could have been Africa? Mother Africa? Going back, trying to reclaim, trying to get back? Because he was lost, remember? He was this is after he found out that he was a clone. And I'm just saying, I don't know. And I, you know, because I'm thinking, I'm like, maybe that's what happened again. That voice that he was trying to listen to was controlled also.
Mm-hmm. I was
we talk about Destiny and I talk about often is who are you listening to? You know, really who are you listening to? Do they have your best interest in mind? That was just a thought. It just popped in my head, but he was lost. I mean, we talked about that. No male in the household. You got, you know, the mom. It's just no parental guidance. That's no parental guidance.
Parental, absolutely yes.
So my theory on the mom situation, I thought the mom probably passed because, as we know, Fonte is the one that's actually doing the whole clone work. Right. And every time he dies, they just toss a new body in that house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's my whole day. I just say it kind of makes sense why the mom's not dead, because maybe she's not alive. And since we see the actual Fonte, and he aged, you know, so that's my theory on that.
That's what I thought too. That's why they had like the recording in there, because it was just like, and he doesn't know what his actual mom sounds like. So that could have been a recording of anyone.
So that's a good point, TC, because now what we're looking at is when he came out of the pod, he was already conditioned.
Yes.
So that's deep. So now he's going into a situation that, again, we talk about the archetypes. He has a plan put inside of him that he's going to play out because that's what he's been conditioned to do. So therefore, like DC, it made a very good point, is when he came out, that's what he was supposed to do. He was always supposed to check on that door. And every time a clone gets taken, they come and they their whole recycle all over again. That's a very good point. Yeah.
Yes. And one thing I forgot to mention is that also the elevator, when you go down to the elevator, is also, what is it? The trap, there was an elevator in the trap house, an elevator in the church, and there was an elevator in the liquor store and strip club.
Right.
There was another thing that was problematic in the black, in the hood.
So access and the church was like the main one.
Yes.
Remember the church?
Yes.
Remember the white Jesus in the church, in the black church? Okay. But you're absolutely right. And then, again, powerful point, you know, those detrimental we have access to you through these institutions. Mm-hmm. Just think about that. So you go to the church, we got access to you. You go to the strip club, we got access. Liquor store, we got access to you. Quick access. And now that's a very good point.
So then I think that's like, that should make people think maybe I should pivot. Why do I keep going to these places? Are these places actually helping me? Like going to the strip club all the time, going to the club all the time, the liquor store, the trap house, like I need to change my lifestyle because clearly they're controlling me through these things.
Absolutely, yes. And I'm just like, it's just so much you can talk about in the movie. Like, so much. And Destiny, I'm glad you said that because that's you hit that in the nail. Like now it's all about mindset. Like change, now I have to change my mindset. For what I'm saying. So yeah, that definitely hit that in the nail. Chuck Finer, you did say about how Destiny, remember when Yo-Yo got kidnapped and in the camera.
Rich, you got
missing. Not saying that, Yo-Yo.
Rich, say that again. You got.
Yeah, say that one more time.
Okay. Remember when Yo-Yo was kidnapped, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Yo-Yo was kidnapped, when the camera panned, you see how the sign on the pole said "missing," and there was a missing person.
Yeah,
so that's deep too. That's deep.
Like, are you saying like that's like a location that they always pick people up?
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. That's deep.
They show a picture of the person.
Yes, yes, they did.
I'm gonna go back and look at that again. Yeah.
Yes.
To tie that in, you got to think about it. In our community, every time you look at somebody that's missing. And they ain't never able to find nobody, all of us, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought about when I see them.
Exactly. And I rarely see, like, any white kids. Like, it's always people of color, black people. Or Hispanic. A lot of black and Hispanic kids always go missing.
Hmm. Yeah.
So it was interesting to see.
Okay. Rich, can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Okay. The room. What was your favorite part?
All right, my favorite. Oh man, you might have to come back to me, Charles. You might have to come back to me.
What's your favorite part? Anybody?
My favorite part is when that part where she had the wig on and she took it off and she got up. That was my favorite part. I was like, I will never, ever, never take my wigs off.
No, and again, I'm looking at it from a male point of view. So are they trying to say that black women's wigs will save them? I don't know.
You want to know something? I saw something a while ago that said, like, women who wear, like, the wigs and, like, the hair wraps and stuff like that, it protects your head from like spiritual things and things like that. So like having your regular hair out, like it's subject to like people latching on to you and things like that, and those chemicals and whatever. So in a way, yeah, they're protectors if you're into that stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got it. My favorite part was when Jamie Foxx got the whole hood together.
Damn it.
I was about to say, from the beginning of organizing that, from the very beginning when they was at the car talking, yeah. Right there, starting from right there.
Yes. You see how Jamie Foxx planned it. He was like, yo, listen, you're not going to like this, but it's going to work.
And then you don't hear about it. You don't know mm-hmm. what they're talking about. It just cut out and go to the next scene.
Yes.
My favorite part was when Jamie Foxx went down into the factory, whatever you want to call it, and he saw himself. Mm. And you could see his face. And it, to me, the interpretation was, oh, shit, I'm part of the problem.
Yep.
Like, yep. Oh, shit, look, oh, wait a minute, I'm a clone, too. So
yeah.
that was powerful to me.
Yeah. And if you realize, he started like low key believing Jesus again. Remember, he said he had a connection. He didn't have a connection with the church.
I didn't see that, but I watched. Yeah.
You see, he started praying and all that kind of stuff. Now, when they're about to go to the elevator and stuff, I thought that's a cool little detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Did anybody else notice when Jamie Foxx was on the? You know that how it was Yo-Yo and Jamie Foxx in there, and they was the guy is hunting, looking for them, and both their guns went out. They ain't got no ammo, right? Mm-hmm. Thing where she noticed that, I guess, I realized later it was a clone. But he had switched out clothes, and she seen a hand move or whatever, so then she's like talking to the guy, getting his attention. The next thing you know, here he comes behind him and shoot him. I didn't realize that he switched out and it was a clone that was there. Until after that whole scene was over, I was like, wait, what? When did that happen?
Oh, yeah, I was trying to figure out when that happened. So I was like, that was smart. Yeah. It was Jamie that switched with a clone, right?
Yes.
I like the part when, basically towards the end, when he met Farnese, like, met his true self.
Okay, yeah.
Just him realizing, like, damn, it's me the whole time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is the...
I'm going to say something. Mm-hmm.
That is, and again, that's the theory part. Like, and correct, because, again, this is why we have to talk things through. Mm-hmm. Was he... Because he was talking about a simulation. Now, remember, if you look in the background, you have the shades of colors. You have the dark skin, and then you, as you progress, there's lighter skin. And if you remember, you had the white guys with the afros. They were the simulationists. So he was his theory was he was trying to say it's okay to assimilate and to adapt. You know, this is, again, what we're trying to figure out. Like, okay, what are you really saying? And yeah, and that was powerful. It was like, oh my gosh, yeah.
And I want to can we touch on that, because that was a deep scene when he met himself,
right?
Because when he met himself, he said, "No, you are me." And he said, the people that are, you know, the people that that pull the strings, and he said, are the people that you're not going to see. They're not on the TV. They're not the president. They're not the politics. The people that pull the strings, you're never going to see them at all. And he said that he has to listen to them. And then Nixon said the same thing. Nixon was like, well, I'm the guy that, you know, like, if things get messed up, I got to clean it up. You know what I'm saying? And that goes to what we do. You know, even when we get hired for, like, I don't want to get, like, too deep in that, but it's like, even if we get hired, right, to do things, sometimes our job is to clean stuff up too. You know, we get paid to clean stuff up for our job. And going back to when Fonte met himself, Tyrone met himself, the powerful words that he said was, he said, it's with two A's. He said, annihilation, something like that, is better than, annihilation, something like that.
Simulation better than annihilation.
Yes, yes, yes. That's what he said. That, oh, and I'm thinking, and when I first seen it, I'm like, okay, does that mean, like, is he a coon or something? Or
is he... That's weird.
You're right.
So, this is how, with that, what brought it back for me, maybe I'm going too deep into it, but automatically brought it back to slavery for me. The blacks were selling their own people for money or whatever it is. So to me, it was, he's giving himself, he's cloning himself and his own people in their community, specific people, for them to keep it to be the way it's supposed to be. And he's following what the higher ups are saying. And to me, that's just that thing. You going based off of what the higher ups with that is saying, and you're just following down.
I think about, I don't know if you guys ever saw the show In Living Color.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember yes. The season with Homie when he assimilated and he was wearing the suits and he rose up through the ranks, and once he got into the doors of Whitey, he snapped. Remember that? He played the game. Once he got in, he kicked their butt, you know. And again, Rich, you brought up a good point. Is it's like, who are we cleaning stuff up for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's deep, Rich. It's, you know, are we cleaning stuff up for us or for the powers that be that perpetuate what's going on?
Absolutely.
That's a deep question. Yes.
Definitely. That scene is powerful itself, definitely.
Yeah.
When he met his original self.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and we talked about the brother, the drunk guy. One of the things that they do is the word is called sejem in ancient Egypt. And it means to listen. Okay, sejem means to listen. We hear things, but do we listen? And you know, one of the things that we have a tendency of doing is we don't think that the people, because of the way they look or because of something, we don't think they don't have value. So sometimes we have to listen to what people are saying and close our eyes and listen to the content. It goes back to, like, you know, we say that, oh, that person's crazy. No, but did you hear what they said? Did you really hear what they said? Like, wow. How many people we have discounted because we didn't think that they had value? I'm not saying everybody, but these are small things that we have to understand, because somebody will say something at a certain time and you're going to go like, oh my gosh, I needed to hear what you just said. You know, again, what we have to understand and look at that. So we look at these things and it is like, I'm going to go out on the limb and I'm going to say that when it comes to these movies, Black Panther was one of the most profound movies in history. You had people who wanted to go to Wakanda. They were like, I want to move to Wakanda. I'm serious. And they were serious, right? But the second movie, Wakanda Forever, to me was better than the first one. That's just my interpretation. I put this movie on the same level with Wakanda Forever. because what it does is it opens up the eyes of people to help them look at what's really going on. Mm-hmm. To be like, wait a minute, hold on. Like TC said, I can look outside my window. Wait a minute. That's what's going on now. So now I'm surprised, and I would like to see if it affects the Popeyes profit line. If it affects all those chicken joints profit lines, profit margins. I would like to see. So again, we're going to look at it and decide what's going to happen. Again, the awareness thing, it's opening up your eyes, just like the Matrix. When you open up your eyes, remember when Neo came out of the pod, he was like, whoa. He was like, wait a minute. This is not what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have to look at. And I'm hoping that people who listen to this, our conversation, will be like, oh my gosh, have more of these. And mind you, this came, Rich, remember how this came out, Rich? Rich and I were talking about it, and I was like, there's nobody talking about this online. Mm-hmm. There's nobody talking about it online. They're talking about other stuff, but not like this. So I think, Rich, I'm going to check, but I think we might be the first ones that are going to put something up online about this movie. Yeah.
Let's go.
Love that.
Let's part.
Go.
I agree with everything you say.
Right.
Yes, Wakanda 2 was a good movie, okay?
Yeah.
It was good. At first, I gotta be watching, but at first I was just like, it's not better than the first one. But then I'm looking at stuff, I kind of still like it, so I gotta be watching and see what's going on.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny about this movie, though? Before this movie came out, when Jamie Foxx had told Health Scare, we all were saying online, did they call Jamie Foxx? Because we started seeing him surface online and stuff. And now we're watching the movie. Now we're looking at it like, hold on now.
But you gotta look. Remember, he came out with his thing telling people that he's fine. I'm not cloned and all that stuff. They like, I still think he's cloned.
Yeah. it's just funny how things connect. So, yeah.
But you know what I think? I really think that was all for marketing.
It could have been.
I can see that too.
That's genius. Yeah.
Timing-wise. Timing-wise, it just and the word. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. He just made a movie. They cloned Tyrone. Now they're using the word clone. Like, come on. If this was 6 months ago, nobody would have ever said the word clone. Nobody would have said it. But I really think it's for marketing, but that's my interpretation. To sell tickets. So we'll see what happens.
Knowing Hollywood, he could be exactly right.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. Okay. Any other thoughts? I think we touched on almost majority of it, I think. Okay. Yeah.
One more question, Rich.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah, one more question.
Okay.
And this is open to the room.
Okay.
How would you explain this movie to someone who's not seen it?
For someone who did not see it?
Did not see it. Because I've been telling people, watch it. Just like, look, watch it. I'm not saying Jack, watch it.
That's how I explain it. I would just ask them, did you see Get Out? If they say they like it, I said, go ahead and see it.
Gotcha.
I would say see it and see it with an open mind.
Okay. I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I just told him to see it.
He was a friend.
But you got to have a mind to be open to see it.
So, yeah. That too.
Right?
I just tell him to watch it.
No, you know what I would say? I would say, watch it and then watch DC Incentives podcast on it.
Right. You know what? Destiny, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I agreed with what you said. Like, watch it with an open mind. That's when I was telling my friends to watch it, and they was like, what was it about? And I was like, it's just a lot of weird stuff. Like, I was just like, just watch it. Like, you're going to watch it, and you're going to think, oh, my gosh, what is in my food? Like, what is – and I compared it. I was telling them about – well, it's on my screen right now, the Clone Tyrone. But I was telling them about how you see how they're doing stuff with the meat now. And
She went out.
Yeah, you went out, but
say that.
Destiny, you went out. We didn't hear you.
Yeah, you went far.
Forward. What's the last thing you heard?
Something is on your screen right now.
That's yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It was they clone Tyrone.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I was saying, I was telling them, like, just basically watch it with an open mind overall. Yeah.
Yes. And so, Chuck, what would we say to the ones that are closed-minded?
What do we say to the ones that are closed-minded?
I would say, like, listen, watch the movie, but they're closed-minded. Like, you know, like...
Stubborn?
They're the ones that are tough. They're not open-minded. They're the ones that, you know, if you see something in face value, they believe it or something like that. Or they can be like, you know, how can I say, like, more like a... they have some truth, but not all the way truths.
Well, one of the things that you can do with people like that is, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. One of the things that you can do is, as educators, because that's what we all here are, we're all in the education business. Whatever we do, we are trying to help people and teach people, everybody in this room. Destiny does music, so she's trying to minister and help people through music, you know, and think about that. So the only thing we can do is we can offer. We can't make them take it. And then we work with the ones who are willing to be accepting of the work. Everybody's not going to make it on this boat. That's the scary part. And that's one thing that we have to learn as a people, is that everyone is not going to make it. And we have to let them go. So those people who don't want to hear it, the best thing that you can do is live your life. And hopefully somewhere along the line, they'll be like, you know what? I remember when you just started this. I remember when you were talking about this. You know, 4 or 5 years later, you know, can you help me out, you know, get to where you are? Yeah, I'll do that, but you know, you should have did that shit 4 or 5 years when I first told you about it. When I first saw. So if you think about it, like you just said, Rich, if you think about it, imagine the influence that you can have on someone when you say, you know what, you need to watch Get Out, you need to watch The Clone Tyrone, so that it might put something in them and be like, I want to be a filmmaker and I want to show movies like this. They don't sit down. It's like, I can't. One of the things as an educator is, I was raised around books. And anyone knows me knows that I'm a book fiend. So if I give you a book, I can't make you read it. I did my part. I didn't hide anything from you. Here you go. Now, after you read that book, we're going to talk about it, just like the movie. After you see the movie, we're going to talk about it. Yes. So now your eyes are open. So now we're talking about They Clone Tyrone. Next thing you know, you're going to start looking at other movies. What did I miss? What did I see? Rich, you turned me on to a movie a couple of weeks ago. Was it
Surrogate? Yeah. Right?
And I watched it. I was like, oh my gosh. This is. And if you know anything about Surrogate, well, watch the movie Surrogate. Again, what we're doing is we're like, yo, what am I missing? What are they showing? I mean, like, wow, oh my gosh, this is what's really going on. This is what's happening. And the same archetypes are the same. It's somebody controlling another group.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It's somebody controlling another group. And the problem is we don't get to see the puppet master. That's the key, yeah.
Absolutely. Those are the ones that's pulling the strings, just like, you know, the original Fonte said, the ones that's pulling the strings, you will never see them.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Remember the end of the movie? I was like, wait a minute, who's Tyrone? And at the end of the movie, they show Tyrone. And if you watch the movie, the end, remember, and then you watch the beginning, it's the same scene.
It's just one was in, I guess, New Orleans.
I think Chicago, New Orleans, right? Chicago. Yes. Chicago. One was in Chicago. Another one was in Cali.
In LA.
So LA, yeah.
The same exact scene. It's like, maybe what they're trying to say is, here we go again. Here we go again. The same over and over and over until somebody breaks the chain and be like, okay, I'm not going to do this shit anymore.
Exactly.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yep. And another, and have you realized that same black SUV car was in the beginning scene, how it picked someone else up?
Yeah.
In the beginning?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then got yo-yo later on.
Yep. And then it got yo-yo later on. Yep.
Now, remember, I think when Jamie Foxx, we talk about the organization part. What's his, the brother's name? The one who shot him the first time.
It's from P Valley?
Yes, from P Valley. You know, it's like, are we going to set aside our differences and galvanize?
Facts.
And mobilize and organize and move together? Like Zay said, when Jamie Foxx got everybody together, like, you know, we have a larger enemy to fight than ourselves.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's in the movie. They're showing you in the movie what you can do. Right. They're literally showing you what you can do.
So now the question is, if we can do that, here's part of the situation. If I'm fighting Rich, I'm fighting TC, I'm fighting Zay, I'm fighting Destiny, I'm fighting Diamond Tash, I don't have time to look for other enemies. I'm fighting you guys.
Mm-hmm.
We come together and be like, listen, let's deal with the real issue. Let's deal with what's going on. Now we're talking about, again, organization. So now it's like, wait a minute, hold on. Our default squabble has nothing to do with us. It's the situation that happened. Let's deal with that situation. Okay, so now we are galvanizing, we're mobilizing, we're putting stuff together. Now it's like, okay, we know where the real fight is. And the real fight is not about us. It's the powers that be. It's the situation. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, you always got that one hood person that be like, so you mean to tell me is that you got some Bill Nye science dudes underground, and you know how they talk, like they be like, so you mean to tell me this shit, like, come on, you
and they be knowing, they be spooked out, they just trying to keep it cool or trying to act like they not scared when they know they like, uh-oh, there's people under.
Yep. And next, you know, so like, and then towards the ending, when Jamie Foxx had everybody together, you see how that one dude was on the phone. He was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, just bring everybody. Just bring it.
Yes, literally.
And he's like, yeah, bring Stephanie now down with the chicks. You know, I was like, yo.
Because that's, you know, that in the hood, that it's always that person. It always is.
We all know a person like that.
Yeah, literally. That part made me laugh too. It was like,
and you always got that in one person odd in the family. That you always got that person in the family too.
I like the way at the end when they went to the liquor store and they, you know, they was like, "Yo, we need to get downstairs." And the guy's like, "What? Like, yo, we need to get." And when they pulled out the showcase, I was like, "Oh, it's this."
Wait,
I'm gonna watch it again tonight.
Did you guys ever hear how that restaurant? What is it? Oh, like they say it's two restaurants, and they're like, "How are these people still open?" I think it's Arby's and Long John's or something like that.
Yeah, it's Arby's. It's not
underground business. That's a good point.
They probably got underground tunnels in there too.
Which it's and one of the things. Okay. One of the things Destiny asked why they open.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys, okay, PSA, you guys got to watch what you eat.
Yes.
because there, you know, I watch videos and I'll be, you know, it's books I've read, you know, the food that you think you're eating, it's not what you think you're eating sometimes.
Yeah, it's
probably,
it's not real meat.
Oh, and we got that, this clone chicken coming out too.
Yeah.
I want to bring up a point. You see what Chuck Finance was talking about? How, and you know, we educate people. And in DC, come on, TC, you know how we did a whole red 40, yellow one, what is it? Blue one, how we talked about that? And that's in artificial flavors and what's in the food. Yeah. Come on now, how, you know, we talk, and that brings back to educating people. So this should inspire, you know, someone to be like, all right, I want to be a filmmaker now. I want to make a difference now. You know, that one. And I'm glad you said that. You said that, Chuck Fine. I'm glad you said that. This should, yeah, because that movie got me hyped. First thing I saw, I was like, all right.
It's like they said, you start with yourself.
Yes.
And you start with yourself, and hopefully you'll influence somebody with you. And hopefully they'll influence somebody next to them. And, you know, like you said, with the red dye and the yellow, it's like, why don't you eat that? Let me show you what this is made from. It's like, oh my gosh, let me show you what this does to you. Oh my gosh. Okay, you know what? Just cut it out your diet. And this is what it's all about. It's okay. Let's look at it this way. What we're doing is we're building filters. Got it? And those filters we're going to build because we're going to start monitoring what we're listening to. Okay, I'm not saying you can't listen to this, but you're going to build a filter to know that you're consciously hearing it, or if you decide, you can shut it down. Just like, you know what, I'm going to filter what I'm eating. If I'm accustomed to eating chicken every single day, you know what, I'm going to cut it down to maybe twice a week now. Because if you know anything about the chicken business, remember, overconsumption in the United States, your chicken is filled up with the hormones, the female hormones, and then you look at the female bodies and you look at the male bodies, all of this stuff. So you know what? Let me go back to the next book. Dr. Bobby Price says something so profound. He's a plant-based doctor, Dr. Bobby Price, and he says something so profound. He said, the food we're eating is not the same food that our grandparents ate.
Yeah.
And it made total sense. It's like, you know what? You're absolutely right. You got lettuce that won't burn now. Wow.
Yes.
That's wild to even hear that.
Right. You got food. And it's like, you know, I'm kind of scared sometimes. I go to the store. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this the real? I'm reading labels. We're like, oh my gosh. But again, that's what the movie is supposed to do. It's supposed to stimulate to act different and to be better. Mm. That's what I hope that this movie does for people.
Yeah.
Get them to open up and look at, you know what, maybe I need to change some ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Also check out, go ahead, TC.
No, go ahead.
Also check out the advertisement signs. Okay. Especially there was one roll card that said one race winner. And then there was another sign that had an underground that said like, we're all equal, something like that or whatever. But yeah, definitely check out those signs too, just to point it out.
I just want to mention one thing Chuck was saying about the foods and stuff. Here's a good way to indicate about good habits and bad habits. If you look at certain neighborhoods, even as you're driving like to different towns and stuff, if you see McDonald's in certain neighborhoods that look similar like to ours and stuff like that, and then let's say you drive by a nice neighborhood, you see no McDonald's, that's a problem there. It's obviously McDonald's is placed in that neighborhood for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that indicator sometimes like, okay, like we should chill out from that. Cause if it's only in my neighborhood, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it. Yeah.
What you're also looking at is you're looking at profit margin. It's just a whole different conversation. There are no high-rise ghettos in certain communities.
Yes.
So population-wise, it doesn't make sense to open up a McDonald's in an area that has low foot traffic. This is all market. But also what you want to look at is why certain things are being done. And there have been studies about this, and you know, you can read it. And it's just amazing, again, the conversation of, you know, why that? And you'd be surprised when it comes to the aspect, Rich, going back to the beginning, redlining, things, there are certain businesses that cannot open up in some community. It's on the record. So now we understand that. So now liquor stores cannot open up in certain communities. It's part of that. And it's part of community planning. They won't let you do that. But it's opening up, and you got 3 or 4 in box radiance in our communities. And again, what we do, we're looking at this. So what we can do is be consciously aware, like I said, and just school people. You guys remember the scene in Boys in the Hood? His name is Furious, right?
Chuck, we didn't hear nothing you said.
Chuck, say that again, Chuck.
What we have to do is we have to be consciously aware, and we have to talk to people, and we have to tell people. We have to open their eyes. You know, just get them thinking. They don't have to be at the level that we are. Just be like, listen, have you ever thought about, wow, you know what? That's something to think about. And then tomorrow I'll put something else in your ear. Like, well, wow, you know, because it's the awareness piece. That's what's most important, knowing what your diet is. And remember, I said your diet is what you see, what you eat, what you hear. And who's manipulating that to control you?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, people be like, you know, a song comes on, I don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear that song. You know, why? You know, that's the jam. Yeah, but I don't want to hear that. So that, again, I'm filtering what's going inside of my body.
Yes. Why is it that in the hood there's, you know, not really fresh, you know, it's like really fresh fruits, but if I go to another, like let's say if I go to the neighborhood, if I go to an upscale neighborhood, you know, like Whole Foods or something like that, why is it that they have fresh fruits and you know, more of the foods, upscale foods in another neighborhood than the hood? Why is that?
Well, yeah, these are good questions.
That goes back to money.
Yeah.
That goes back, come on, you know where that goes to. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
But hasn't anybody realized, like, there are more people that's willing to make their own, grow their own vegetables? More people are trying to grow their own fruits and vegetables now.
Yeah, I realized that myself.
And I noticed that some people don't know much about it, and they're like more trying to find out more information on how they can get that done. And I've seen more gardens in certain neighborhoods now, in our neighborhoods, I should say, but they may not be as big as they want them to be, but they're starting that. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think we touched on any more thoughts?
No.
No.
Because we'd be here another hour.
I'm pretty sure this will be the last time we talk about
which
it.
Which is true.
Let's do this. Rich, if it's okay with you, somewhere along the line, let's pick another movie, and then next month we'll go through that movie. How's that?
Sure.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All right.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Let's do it.
We'll kind of break down discussion. And you know what we can do is we can do a new movie, we can do an old movie. Now that'll be pretty cool. Yeah.
Yes.
I like that. All right.
I'm fine with that. We can do every movie.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
So yeah.
Absolutely. All like right.
A little rotten, rotten tomato.
Right.
All right. So that's the episode, y'all. Thank y'all. And then what is your thoughts? What is your thoughts, you know, on the movie They Clone Tyrone? What is your reviews? You know, put that in the comments. But you know, what you know, what's your thoughts on that? Like, subscribe. Get leave us a review.
And also for those who listen, if you want us to do a movie, pop it in.
Yes, for sure.
You know, it might be a movie that I've never seen before. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah,
absolutely. And if we'll watch the movie. We'll do a review. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, that's the end of the episode, y'all. Share this with three people. Share this with five people, because this is deep, especially for the ones that you know they clone Tyrone. You know, if they watch the movie. If you'd like to support us, definitely go to our, subscribe, and also go to the Apple podcast app. Leave a review, 5 stars, everything. So yeah, guys. So also, if you would like to, you know, donate or anything to us, or you really support us, go to www.diamondcashincentives.com. And Chuck Finance, how can they follow you?
Instagram or TikTok. Chuck Finance at Instagram or TikTok.
Let's go. So is there anything going on? How can they donate to you, or how can they, you know, Cash App anything, or you know, anything going on? And what's your any updates?
Yeah, just Chuck Finance, hit me up, DM me, and we can take it from there.
Gotcha. Okay. TC Zay, talk to me.
You know where to find me. Sitting right here on this podcast.
Exactly.
I ain't going nowhere. Exactly. Ain't clone me. I'm still me. I ain't get cloned yet.
Thank you.
Yeah. Word.
All right.
That's the end of the episode, y'all.
Good night.
Yeah, good night.
Later, guys.
Good night.